left in the dark, and I want, you know, I would have my lamp on, or there was a little night light, because it was just something I didn't like. When I think about a fire, you know, these beautiful log fires in these houses, or even campfires, there's something that draws you to it, you know, to the light, isn't there? It looks comforting, it's warm, it keeps you away from the dark and the cold. You always feel much safer and securer when you're around the light. I was also thinking about that, you know, there are some people that like the limelight. You know, they absolutely thrive on, you know, being centre stage, as it were, with the light shining on them. And when we think of light as well, it's a symbol of growth. We know that without the sunshine, without the light, you know, the plants can't grow. And even animals, I mean, you see it sort of in the jungles in the daytime, you know, they'll graze, and then as nighttime approaches, they realise that they need to get somewhere safe, and, you know, the monkeys scamper up the trees or whatever, because they don't want to be picked off for food. And also for ourselves, I mean, we have the hours when the clock goes forward and the clock goes back, because that extra light is invaluable to us. It's so that we can do our jobs, perform our duties. So, you know, it seems such a vital thing. But there are people who prefer to stay away from the light. There are those who stay in the shadows. You know, that might be for a number of different things. There are people who think, if I stay here in the shadows, then, you know, no one can see me. I'm out of the way. I'm not getting in anybody's way. I'm not being a problem. There are people who are timid. There are others that are scared that if they move into the light, we'll see them for what they really are. They feel that they'll be exposed if they move into the light. But these people that are in the shadows, they think, you know, oh, I just want to stay here. I'm happy where I am. I don't want to grow any further. And without the light, they're not going to grow any further. And like they say, they're very happy to stay where they are. But invariably, you find that the people who are out of the light, they know that there's something missing. They're unhappy, they feel unfulfilled, they feel unsafe, they feel helpless. You know, they feel like there's no one they can trust, they're just lost. A few weeks ago, Dad took me to B&Q and we were looking for a Christmas tree. And I was looking for a Christmas tree to go outside in the front of my house. And I just really fancied this Christmas tree that would grow every year. And we went and we could see these trees in pots. And as I was examining them, every single one of these trees said, not suitable to be planted outside. And I was absolutely horrified that here was a tree whose sole purpose in life is to grow outside. And yet, these poor things had sort of been kept, I guess, in glass houses, or, you know, they'd been reared indoors. And they probably just weren't strong enough to cope with outside the extremes. But although it might sound silly, it upset me, because I thought, you know, these poor things, you know, they're not. They can't do what they were created to do. It just seems such a sad thing. And it reminded me of the story of the fig tree in the Bible. You know, when Jesus sees the fig tree and it looks, to all intents and purposes, it's there to provide fruit, but it isn't providing fruit. And the fig tree should have been bearing fruit, but it wasn't performing the purpose that it was created for, just like these useless Christmas trees that you couldn't plant outside. If we can move to John, I'm going to go to John 3, verse 16 to 21. It's a very famous piece of scripture, this. John 3:16 to 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light, for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. This is where I'm going to share about a little bit about the picture that God showed me. I could see a prism. It was sort of all facets. To all intents and purposes, it looked like a kind of box, but with all these facets and shining, it was shining. And I remembered vaguely that back in physics lessons, that if you shine a light through a prism, it splits into all the colours of the rainbow. But what I also remembered was that as this light splits, if you projected where the light goes as it sort of falls in on all these facets, it actually goes on to infinity. If you could see that, those lights are reflecting and refracting into infinity. And I just thought that was a wonderful picture of what God's purpose is for us. We were created to respond to his light. And as the prism, when light shines through the prism, people should be able to see that light within us. And if we are operating just like this beautiful clear, or if you imagine a diamond, if it's so clear and this light shining through, what these people can see are these beautiful patterns, all the colours of the rainbow. And that speaks to me of us reaching out to a very diverse group of people. It doesn't matter who the person, you know, what creed, what religion, what background, it doesn't matter, because the light will reach that person. It was designed to meet a diverse background of people. But not only is that wonderful, but also that light goes throughout eternity. Yeah. You know, it's infinite. It will never fade. It will never end. And when I was thinking about all these beautiful rainbows, I don't know if any of you have seen it, when it casts through a light, when you cast through, you know, a shiny jewel, it really is beautiful when you see all these colours of the rainbow. And it started me thinking about Noah and the rainbow. And God set the rainbow in the sky, and that was a promise for us all, that whenever we saw that, and whenever God saw that, he would remember the promise that he made, that never again would he destroy all the living creatures. And from the story I've got here, the last part of his promise is the covenant that he made with Noah, and it says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. I've written down here, the light that shines into us and through us should be the answer to any question and any problem, because as we've just read here, that light is Jesus. If we can go to John 8, and I'm going to read verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So if we are living our lives through Jesus, if we've accepted him and we're in right standing, then our lives will be crystal clear. And the light that shines through us will shine to its maximum effectiveness. That is through to infinity. So we can affect people's lives through to infinity, just like the prism, which is absolutely what a wonderful thing, that gift that God's given us there. Hallelujah. Through his son Jesus. If we can move to Corinthians, I'm hopping around a bit. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6. For God, who said, let light shine out of the darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And it goes on to say in verse 7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And I remember the scripture there where it says, you know, when God says, when you are weak, then I am strong. And that's what that's all about. You know, people should know that this isn't coming from us. This is coming from the light of God. This is coming from Jesus. But in verse 6, when I read about this, when you're talking about accepting this light, which is Jesus, you're accepting your salvation. So this is right at the beginning of your walk. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. So through accepting Jesus, we see Jesus' face. And that is giving us knowledge of the glory of God. But that's just the start. I mean, that is fantastic in itself. We are seeing the face of Christ, and we have got the knowledge of the glory of God and how awesome it is and what it can do. But that's just the beginning. That's just the knowledge. And what we move into is the intimacy. And that glory just gets stronger and stronger and stronger and more, so we can see more of it. If we move to 1 Peter, verse 2. I'm going to read, 1 Peter chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 9 to 12. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. And basically what Peter's saying here is, you know, you've been called into this wonderful family, the family of God, but it's about leading by example. And people, as soon as you're a Christian, as soon as people find out you're a Christian, then they start to watch. And they're watching to see you slip up. You know, you seem to be measured by this stick that's so different to everybody else's. But the point is, that's a good thing, because they will see that we've got something. We've got something that they don't have. And they're curious. They want to know what it is. So by hook or by crook, the Lord will get them, because they want to know. And what they're actually after is this light. They're after the light of the world, which is Jesus. If we can go to 1 John 1, and I'm going to read verses 5 to 8. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. And if we can just skip over the page to chapter 2, I'll look at verses 7 to 11. There's a lot about light. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard, yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing, and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. So here, we don't want to just look good on the outside. It's not, you know, a case of saying, you know, I've got Jesus and leaving it at that. I mean, we hear time after time on a Sunday it's about walking the walk and not just saying it. And it just won't work any other way. You know, if the light is on the inside of us, which it is, then it's got to shine through us, and it's not going to be through a murky glass. If you ever try to shine light through a murky glass, there's not much of it comes out. It all gets lost on the inside. But if we're shining through this pure prism, this crystal, then you're going to see it going out and beyond. The picture that I saw, God showed me that this prism, as I've said, it's got the potential to do such a wonderful thing if it uses its potential. But what I saw was this prism that was there, and the light was trying to shine through it, but there was an umbrella up over the top of it, so the light was just bouncing off the umbrella. And what God was saying was the prism was the church. And what the church had done, it had decided to trust in itself rather than God. And it thought, well, if I put this umbrella up, if it starts to rain, I shall be protected and I won't get wet. And if it's too hot and the sun beats down on this umbrella, then I'll be protected and I won't get too hot. But it wasn't fulfilling what it was there to do, what it was created to do. And that just reminded me about the fig tree and the Christmas tree that I was talking about. You know, on the surface, you've got a Christmas tree that was grown, it was in a pot, it should be able to be planted. And on the surface, you had a fig tree that should have been giving fruit. But neither of them were serving any purpose whatsoever, because they'd been mollycoddled. That was the thing. You know, this tree couldn't sustain itself outside, and that was like the church. It had mollycoddled itself. It had put this umbrella up and saying, oh, I'm not having a bit of sort of rain on my head, and I'm not having the sun on me. But as a result, it wasn't doing anything. I remembered something that my dad said a very long time ago when I was a teenager, and I think I can't remember what I'd done, but I'd been up to no good. And rather than him shouting at me, he tried to sort of sit down and explain something to me. And what he said, it's as I've got older and older, it seems to be even stronger and stronger. It's something that you can apply. I thought it was wonderful. I don't know whether you saw any effects after it, Dad, you can tell me. But what he said to me was, he was trying to explain about, you know, particularly when you're a teenager, you see something and you want it, don't you? I'm going for that all out, that's mine, I'm going to have that. And what Dad tried to explain to me was, it's not about the going and the getting, it's about how the journey goes along the way. And the more I think about that, you know, it's so true. You know, you see people in business or, you know, in work, wherever it might be, and they decide, they fix their eyes on, I'm having that. And it doesn't matter who they tread on to get there. It doesn't matter the harm that it causes, even in terms of their own reputation. They just fix their eyes on that thing and they're having it, come hell or high water. But the thing is that there has been things that's happened through my life where it would have been so easy just to go from A to B, quickest route, stampede or whoever gets in the way. And sometimes it takes, you have to go the long route. But going the long route, you find that there's people who you come across that enrich your lives, but you also have the opportunity to enrich their lives as well. You might make some mistakes along the way, but you learn from them and you change your way of thinking. And so, you know, you would, if you see that the winning sort of formula is A to B, stampede on anybody, you will continue to do that. You never really learn anything. But sometimes it takes us longer, but we get there in the end. But it is all about choices. You know, when Dad explained to me all those years ago, I had a choice. You know, and he wasn't sort of saying to me, you don't do this, but he was explaining the sort of repercussions of my choices and how it could affect others and ultimately affect myself. And that is just what God's all about. You know, he is this, there is nothing that God can't do if he wanted to do it. He's so awesome and wonderful and mighty, but he is also a perfect gentleman. And he will never force his way into your life. You know, he doesn't manipulate you. He doesn't say, this is for your own good. Clip you around the back of the ear and off you go. If you decide you're not going to do it, he'll leave you not to do it. And, you know, I've learnt that the hard way a few times where I've decided to go my own sweet way and I've had to come back. But the point is that, you know, he won't make you do. But as soon as I make that choice and say, well, God, it's over to you because I don't know the answer, the minute I do that, he will step in and he will pick it up and he will show me the way. And how this all fits into what I'm sort of trying to explain. You know, I saw this picture about, you know, the moment that we're born again and we receive God's Spirit. And go back to the day of Pentecost. And what you saw on the day of Pentecost when people were filled in the room with the Holy Spirit, you had the tongues of fire, didn't you? And they came into the room and they were leaping above the followers' heads. And from the moment that you're born again and you're born in the Spirit, it's like having a light within you. Now it might start off as a little candle, but that's Jesus, and it's that candle's never going to go out. But the choice that we need to make is, are we happy to leave that as a little candle that keeps Catherine warm and that makes Catherine feel safe and that lets Catherine get along just nicely, thank you? Or am I going to make the choice that, well, you know, I can fan this flame and this flame's going to get bigger and maybe I can make a bonfire. And if I make a bonfire, it's going to be a bigger light and some other people can come and warm themselves at the side of this fire. So the question I'm really asking you today, are you happy to be a candle or do you want to be a bonfire? I think I remember hearing about, was it Wesley, where he said, when he used to go out preaching, he said, every day I go out, I set myself on fire and watch the people turn up to watch. So it's this light of God, it is so important. When I was going through this, I started to get a message that God gave me, and I'm going to read it out to you. And I just, you know, this is what I want to close with. This is the message, and it's all about this choice. You know, each one of us has to make a choice, but I really believe that this is what he's saying to his people about this light. Did I not say you were my people? Am I not the God that keepeth thee? My eyes run back and forth over the earth looking for my people, whom I can fill and refill with the knowledge of my glory. My cup runneth over, heaven runneth over with goodness. But whom can I send? Who will shed my light abroad? The harvest is much, but the workers are few. The time is coming when I will gather my light bearers from the north, south, east and west, and together we will set the earth on fire with my glory. Be ready to hear my voice. Be ready to hear my command. For the time is coming when my light will break forth like the noonday and the shadows will flee away. Amen. Trim your lamps, bring your oil, and prepare for the Feast of Lights.